The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 4 degrees and the sun is trying to peek through the clouds here at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Gabriella Meyer, and here are today's headlines. There's a battle over trees on Nuns Island. Hydro-Québec is looking for more solar power. And young people still want to buy houses. A battle is brewing on Nuns Island over how to approach a deadly forest infestation. The City of Montreal announced that hundreds of ash trees ravaged by invasive insects will be chopped down this winter. Residents are fighting for a more measured approach. Hannah Beach has more on the story.
Alain Bossé is a longtime resident of Nuns Island, who took it upon himself to form a group to protect the Domaine Saint-Paul, a much-beloved urban wooded area. Bossé and others take issue with the city's strategy for removing the trees, which will see 1,000 trees all cut down starting this January.
So we think this will affect the biodiversity because the borough will clear a lot of space and we will be losing the canopy. We're worried. We're pretty worried about that.
Bossé and his organization consulted with an expert who confirmed their fears that the removal of all these trees at once will have devastating consequences on the ecosystem.
She told us is that the approach of the borough was not the right one. The best approach is to do this felling in a minimum span of 10 to 15 years.
Hannah Beach, CJCN News, Montreal.
Hydro-Québec is planning to grow its solar energy production by 300 megawatt by 2030. The state company says that the project aims to diversify its energy production and that is part of the plan to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. Félix Leduc spoke with energy policies expert Pierre-Olivier Pinault, who says that Hydro-Québec is taking its first serious leap in this type of energy production.
So for Hydro-Québec, it's a relatively new technology. They have invested about close to 10 megawatt in a solar farm, but they want to add more because the government asked them to do a lot and they are exploring all technologies.
What is the goal of this new energy block?
Hydro-Québec has the goal to add a lot of capacity to produce a lot more energy by 2035 and beyond. So they will invest a lot in wind, but wind won't be able to supply all the needs. So that's why they are diversifying.
How useful is solar energy in Quebec's power grid, considering that the moments when we need the most energy are at night and during winter, which are the moments when there is the less sun?
As you just said, it's solar is not producing when we need the most the electricity. But given the fact that we'll develop some storage through EVs and through different means, we have capacity to store electricity. All sources of generation will be welcome.
What will those 300 megawatt represent in Quebec's power grid?
It will remain small because in Quebec we have about 40,000 megawatt of installed capacity. So it will be an additional 300 megawatt. So it's a beginning. It's really to test the market that Hydro-Québec does that.
What's the usefulness of the creation of this energy block compared to the reduction of energy consumption?
These are two different aspects. Generation is not useful to reduce consumption, and the priority should be on energy efficiency and energy consumption reductions. But Quebecers have a very hard time understanding how to do it.
That was Félix Leduc speaking with energy policies expert Pierre-Olivier Pinault. It looks like Canadians may be getting a new high-speed link between Toronto and Quebec City. That's according to new information obtained by Radio Canada. The train, previously announced by Ottawa as a high-frequency rail, will now reportedly also be high-speed, traveling up to 300 miles per hour. The Canadian government is expected to officially announce the news in the coming weeks. Montreal school bus unions have released the results of two anonymous mandates that union members voted on. The mandates found that 95% of Montreal school bus union members are ready to begin an indefinite strike if a new bargaining agreement with Sojusco is not met. Matthew Piscina explains.
Montreal school boards are reacting this morning after two school bus unions voted to go on strike indefinitely if an agreement is not met. A spokesperson for the Montreal school board says that he feels for families who may have to deal with an upcoming strike.
For some parents, it was really, really difficult in terms of finding a way to get their kids to and from school.
According to the CSN, Sagesco is getting richer while the drivers still struggle to make ends meet. They add that the two most senior executives at Sagesco are making close to $500,000 annually. In March of this year, unions striked against bus company Transco in a similar fashion. According to Cohen, it was a difficult spot to be in as a member of the school board.
Last year, we had a massive strike. I mean, there was no buses at all. And for several months, parents had to, bring their kids on their own. It's beyond our control because we subcontract. So do all the school boards. They subcontract the bus service. So it's not like we are in a position, like they're negotiating with the company that owns the buses. They're not negotiating with the school boards.
The strike with Transco proposed a 43% pay increase over a six-year period. The union striking against Sagesco have not released an official proposal for their hypothetical strike. Matthew Piscina, CJCN, Montreal.
A stabbing occurred at the Shim Hospital in the early hours of this morning. A 53-year-old patient was stabbed by a 35-year-old patient who was sharing his room. Staff restrained the attacker by the time police arrived. The older patient is reportedly recovering from the stab wounds to his upper torso. A new report from Manulife Canada reveals important health challenges affecting women in the workplace. The study focuses on menopause, fertility, and postpartum mental health. It notes rising hormone replacement therapy and fertility drug use, urging employers to improve support through better benefits and flexible work arrangements. So, Amalia, why is it important that we recognize and support women's health?
Well, Gabby, this is a topic that often comes up, as a big part of our population is women. By showing more support to women's health, we could actually create a healthier environment and inclusive workspace. From Women on the Rise, Millie Tresiera, she actually had a lot more to say about this.
When you join the workforce and you decide to have a baby, then that's a huge transition that happens in a woman's life, right? But for that transition, we're given time off and, you know, because we're actually being productive in society, we are making other human beings, and that's deemed to be productive enough, right? But then with other transitions, such as, for example, pregnancy loss or infertility or menopause, these other reproductive transitions are not really seen as, worthy of taking time off.
What would be the consequences if we don't help women in need of support?
Well, without the support, women will actually struggle to work, and this will also have consequences in the actual workplaces that they go to. So this will not only be consequences for women, but also in the workplace. Here is what Tresiera had to say.
Women are burnt out. They are, quote unquote, sicker than ever. Women are isolated. You isolate. We isolate ourselves when we feel unwell. We feel that we are alone, that we're the only ones experiencing the things we're experiencing, because the world is not crafted in a way that women can be free to speak, to say, to be the way they are.
What can companies do to better support their female employees facing these health issues?
After speaking with Tresiera, offering sources to women to go to when they're going through these changes could really improve women's mental health. Companies providing some time off during those times, or even just more flexible hours, could really give them the time to actually take care of themselves.
Thank you, Amalia. Quebec will start accepting advance requests for medically assisted death starting tomorrow. The new law applies to individuals with conditions like Alzheimer's and dementia. Those with these conditions will now be allowed to make proactive requests before the condition advances to mental capacity decline. We've all heard about skyrocketing house prices over the last few years. One may assume it priced out Gen Z and millennials from buying a home. However, this does not seem to be the case, according to a new study by Scotiabank. Huda Kirkati has more on this.
The Canadian dream of buying a home is still alive and well. According to a new poll from Scotiabank, 58% of Canadians between 18 and 64 still intend to buy a home within the next 5 years. For economic expert Kevin Bulteau, the optimism among millennials and Gen Z might be justified.
It sure could be easier in the next 5 years that it's been in the last couple of years, just because of that big increase in home prices and the large interest rate.
The poll also showed that financial literacy was needed for young prospective home buyers. However, Bolto says it's not info sessions that they need.
I believe it's more a psychological problem because the process is quite easy once you get into it in some way.
However, for Robert Frank, editor of Canadian Real Estate Forums, it might not all be sunshine and rainbows for prospective home buyers, since they will need more than low interest rates to buy a home.
The real underlying issue is inflation, and the government of Canada has not significantly addressed that issue because of policies that only serve to heighten inflation, which could make a return. Already this past week, long-term interest rates for 10-year loans have gone up, not down, which is a sign of things to come.
This is Huda Kirkati for Concordia News.
Government and companies will be getting together today and tomorrow in downtown Montreal for the InCyber Forum to discuss cybersecurity. They say that with new innovations in technology comes a greater need for new strategies to stay safe online. Zachary Chung is at the conference now and joins us live. So Zach, this is the third year that InCyber has hosted a conference, right?
Yeah, that's right. So InCyber is actually a corporate event that the government is also present in. So that's the government, the provincial government of Quebec, and also the municipal government of Montreal. And the government and professionals from the industry are here to talk about new innovations in technology and what new threats are actually now present with these innovations. Montreal is a leading city in cybersecurity, and being here really puts that into perspective. The conference is held here at the Palais de Congrès in this really big room where you walk in and there are just many, many big kiosks, some over 10 feet tall. The room is quite packed. There are many, many people here. These kiosks are run, some from the government, some universities, and also, some kiosks are run by private companies as well. There are many people here.
And Zach, the protection of personal information is a hot topic at the conference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Some people are saying that as technology advances, we need to be more careful of how we store data online. I was able to speak to Alagid Malangam, CEO of Rootcode, which is a software development company, who said that citizens' personal information is safer in the hands of private databases like blockchain. He says that these sorts of databases are actually more democratic, and that it isn't enough, and that there isn't enough transparency between the government and citizens when it comes to personal information online. Here's what he had to say.
But in Estonia, it has become a standard expectation because my Estonian government dashboard would tell me which government agency accessed my data on what day. And if I don't like any of them, I can start a dispute and an investigation. That has created a culture in Estonia where citizens feel like you own the data. It's your data.
But Zach, the government and companies aren't the only ones attending the conference, right?
Yeah, that's right. There's actually going to be 600 high school students present at the conference over the course of the next 2 days. The conference is actually hosting a youth program called CyberCap that aims to educate young people on how to stay safe online. So, that's things like how do you protect yourself and your family online? What are you supposed to put on social media that's safe? And things like how to identify an AI-generated image. As well, there's also going to, a big part of this program is telling young people what cybersecurity-related careers there are out there. I spoke to Marie-Astrid Dubin, who is the executive director of CyberCap, the program, who said that their program actually aims to specifically educate young girls. This is what she had to say.
And what we wanted to do as well is wanted to make sure that for young girls, they will see the same opportunities. So we want to make sure that when they come, they see that, they are also welcome around the table and they can have a career. And it's very, very wide. You don't need to be a pen tester or a hacker. You can work in marketing and cybersecurity as well. You can work in many different fields.
And so according to the press release, the InCyber conference is confirmed to be in Montreal until 2027. So we'll be sure to expect more things like this in the years to come.
Thank you, Zach, for that report. A new play is opening in Montreal. Get your tapping shoes on for the Flamenco Festival. And big news for the Calgary Stampede, as they'll welcome Shania Twain as one of the headliners for next year's festival. Lina Mansouri has the details.
Let's go, girls.
Shania Twain was announced as a headliner for the 2025 Calgary Stampede concert series. Tickets went on sale just this morning. Adam Oppenheimer, president of Stampede Entertainment, says he anticipates a high rate of attendance for the Canadian Country Star concert. In other news, the internet's favorite flower boy, Tyler, the Creator, surprised fans by releasing his new album, Chromacopia, just yesterday. He'll be coming to Montreal on July 22, 2025, as part of his upcoming world tour. The Flamenco Festival is tip-tapping its way back to the Théâtre Maisonneuve stage tonight with the return of the dancer Federico Nunez. The musical director will be provided by José Vega from Cadiz and Andrés Parodi. You can expect to find guitarists, pianists, a bandoneonist, as well as many other musicians accompanying the dancer on stage. And that's not all for festival season. The Festif Charlevoix Francophone Music Festival is starting its tour this October in schools across several regions in Quebec. 17 artists will bring musical education through performances, conference, and workshops in 50 schools. If you're looking for date plans tonight, the play Still Life is premiering at Théâtre La Chapelle. Written by Marie-Ève Milo and Marie-Claude Saint-Laurent, the play is looking at the effects of society in women in their 30s, particularly in the manifestation of panic attacks. It explores the idea of anxiety and the experience of it. Here's what Emma Tibaldo, the director, hopes it will bring to the public.
And the other thing I hope this play does is it lets people think about who in their lives is struggling and who needs a hand, who needs to be surprised, who needs to be held, who needs to be enveloped.
Performances will go on until November 9th. That's it for arts.
Thank you, Lena. Move over, New York City. It's time for Rat City. Apparently, NYC isn't the only place that rats love. Orkin Canada released a list of Canada's top 25 rattiest cities, with Montreal just making the cut in 24th place. Top cities include Kelowna in third, Vancouver in second, and Toronto taking the cheesecake in the number one spot. Though rain is expected this afternoon, we can look forward to the next couple days. The forecast shows that warm weather is on its way. Some good news for trick-or-treaters, as Thursday the 31st will be warm with a high of 23 degrees predicted. And that is your news for 11:45. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Gabriella Meyer.